Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
We got 3 hours of fun, 3 hours of enlightenment, entertainment, information. And there is a lot going on. My goodness. Not many games, really. NBA still in preseason. Obviously, no NFL games. And baseball on a brief break before they get going.
A rare night off. Yes.
With the divisional series. Well, and finishing up the NLDS. But, we got plenty to talk about. We got Adam Kaplan, our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider, joining us at the bottom of the hour. And Rob Parker and I are going to do our thing, so keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83. What's up, man?
What's happening? How are you on this Worship Wednesday? All is good?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
This morning, I went downtown Los Angeles and saw someone that you know as well, Mr. Curtis Bunn, who was a sports writer in New York and Atlanta, and he's a novelist now, and
he's doing a lot of different things, right?
Yeah, but he writes books and teaches as well, Chris. And caught up with him, his mom and sister. They were in town visiting. His mom and sister had never been to California. No, they've never been. They just came to visit.
Okay.
So yeah, it was great to see Curtis, and covered the Nets and Knicks with him. And you know, he covered the NBA for years. So
right.
That was it.
And wasn't one of his books was made into a movie, right? Baggage Claim?
Yep.
Baggage Claim. Is that based on his book?
I think so. Yeah, you remember that. Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, we got a lot to get into, Rob, so let's do it.
And I do want to say this real quick, too.
Yeah.
For people who have been asking about journalism questions and the whole stuff, Chris and I are going to help explain some of it. Since we've been in this business for a long time, we both are trained sports writers and journalists. I just think if you're interested in finding out the do's and don'ts of journalism and what is legit, there's a lot of stuff on Twitter and, you know, social media, Chris, that's just not accurate.
Right.
That's just not accurate. Right. We're going to, you know, dig through that.
Yes, indeed. Among other things, we got DJ Alex Teicher, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan, on the ones and the twos. We got super producer Rob G in full effect, and the loquacious one, Mr. Brian Finley, on the updates. All right, Rob, before we get into the journalism and all that stuff, we got to talk Kyrie, because this thing is still unfolding. Today, many of the Nets' key members, James Harden, Steve Nash, they all spoke for the first time since the decision was made not to let Kyrie play in road games, since he's going to miss all the home games and not playing practices as well. But here was Steve Nash, Rob, on his comments on the situation.
You know, I support the decision. A lot went into it. You know, it's not easy. But, you know, we discussed all the possibilities and all the things that are going on. And if things change, we'd love to have Kyrie back. And in the meantime, we'll build and keep growing with this group.
Yeah, Rob, I mean, again, we both said it. Bravo to the Nets. We support the decision. They showed backbone. If they had let him play in Rogan, what are you doing?
And it would have been a disaster. People just don't get it, because it would be, Chris, the constant talk would be about him. Say they play the Lakers and it's in Brooklyn and he can't play, they lose to the Lakers. Hey, would you guys have been able to beat the Lakers if Kyrie played? You know what I mean? That's the conversation.
Absolutely. And it would have got on guys' nerves, and And I thought Sean Marks made an interesting point, Rob. He and some people probably saw it as he's just trying to soften the blow for Kyrie or kiss up to Kyrie, whatever. But he also said it's really not that fair to Kyrie either. If you've been away from the team and then you throw him into the lineup here and there, you know, it's a guy who already is injury prone. Now, he will be able to practice, so he could be in some type of shape. But it's just not – this is the NBA. This is professional basketball. And I want to make it clear, right, even though we're both vaccinated and we think you should get vaccinated, I'm not so much killing Kyrie for his decision. He can do what he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
Everybody has the right. I have people in my family who won't get vaccinated.
I do too.
I think they're mashugana. I think they're crazy. But that's they have to live with it, Chris. They have to do what they've got to do. And ultimately, you know, that's what happens. I'm going to protect myself. I don't know enough about science to make that decision and to reject when I saw 700,000 people die of COVID-related, you know, illnesses, including a few friends of mine who shouldn't have been dead last year, who should not have been dead.
We know some of our friends in this business, too. But it's all a part of news becoming somewhat politicized or largely politicized, right? You're getting different spins depending on what station you watch. And there's just so much information out there.
And a lot of false information as well.
Yeah, a lot of it's false. But a lot of people don't know how to tell what's true and what's false.
Just because it looks slick and it's put together and they put up the IDs that this guy's a doctor and this all that stuff. I've seen so many, Chris, and they look all real. Hey, look. This is so-and-so. This is they're just making money off of us. Hey, this is about Bill Gates. Hey, this is about this guy. This is about it's incredible. So I could see how somebody could easily be caught up in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but anyway, James Harden spoke today. Rob G, what was his quote? He did say he hasn't spoken to Kyrie since the decision was made. But, Rob, you got the quote from Harden today?
I got it for you guys
told,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
You know, he did say he hadn't spoken to Kyrie directly since the announcement was made, but he did add, quote, Kyrie believes in his beliefs and he stands firmly. We respect it and we all love Kai. But we have a job to do, and individually myself, I'm still wanting to set myself up for a championship. The entire organization is on the same path.
And Period. He also said we got, two pretty good leaders, even though we lost Kyrie, which they do. I still think they, you know, it's going to look, them Milwaukee, we'll see if the Lakers get it together.
Right.
We'll talk
about
them
later. Nothing's a layup. But they have a good enough team, 100%.
Absolutely. So beyond all that, Rob, Shams Charania said on a podcast just within the past few hours, if I'm not mistaken, that the Nets have the $186 million contract extension that the Nets were ready to offer Kyrie is no longer on the table. And I say, I guess not. You know what I'm saying?
But what contract extension could you give a guy? Right. I don't even think that this is like breaking news. How about common sense? Can we put up a thing that says common sense from Fox Sports Radio? Because that's what that is. He's not playing this year, right? Or he's not playing because he won't be vaccinated or whatever he needs to do. So we're going to dangle and sign him to a $186 million contract extension? Doesn't make sense.
Rob, I got to believe, I mean, if Kyrie's not going to be available this year, let's just keep it real. They'd rather he not be under contract right now.
Right, if they could help
him. Because they still are going to have to pay him roughly $17 million to just sit there and do nothing. And so as great as he is, and I think they're in their ideal world, he's playing. But if he's not playing, sure. I mean, look, Rob, I'll go this far. There's nothing, Kyrie. If I ran the Nets, there'd be nothing he could do this year that would make me give him a contract extension during the season.
So if he came back in week two, played, didn't miss any games, helped you win a championship, you wouldn't be interested in him?
After that, yeah, after he does all that, yes.
Okay.
But
all
my
right.
point is, during the season, like, I've
got
to
see Kyrie.
No, I'm
talking about after. I got you.
Right,
I got you.
I've
got to
see him stay healthy.
Right, right. I'm saying if he played well, came back, was healthy.
Right. I got to see him be available for every game, not take a week or two off for mental health issues or whatever he's got to step away from. Like, there's a lot of issues with Kyrie beyond just the vaccination.
No, I get it. I get it.
And so I've got to see him be steady for a year before I even really even consider it. And then if we win the championship and he played great, then I would consider it. But even then, I'd be a tad bit leery. But we'd see how it played out. If everything went swimmingly, he's
right.
a great
well,
player. And, you know,
and the talent,
too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you put up with certain things if a guy is talented. We know that.
Right.
We talked about it yesterday. If you're a musician or a rock star or something, or a rapper, and you're hard to deal with for the other people, but you're so talented, or you're a movie actor, Chris, and you're just a pain in the butt, right? Or
right.
a diva. They'll talk about you like a dog behind your back, but if you can produce when the lights go on, they'll usually take you.
Yeah, yeah. And the question would be, is Kyrie that level? I think he's awesome. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if I'd still put up. If I knew I had to deal with him not being available for weeks at a time, week at a time, things like that, those are my questions. But the bottom line is, Rob, I don't see how anybody could think they'd offer him a contract extension at this point.
I agree.
I think his trade value is very minimal now. So that's what the next part of this story, beyond, of course, whether or not he gets vaccinated, is can you trade him?
Well, if Senator Ted Cruz had a team, I think that he would be traded. Did you see that in Texas?
No, I didn't see. What'd he say?
He said that the Rockets are looking for a guard or something. They'll take
him. Oh,
yeah,
said.
Like that was, he put it out
yeah,
on Twitter or whatever.
They trade him for John Wall. They would trade him
right.
for John Wall. And, you know, if Wall went out and played this year and looked good, maybe. I mean, the Nets just don't need him. They just don't need John Wall. And he wouldn't fit with Harden as well as Kyrie because he's not as good of a shooter. But, yeah, so anyway. All right, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in on more stuff surrounding the Kyrie Irving situation. Would you offer him a contract extension because he's such a great player? And Rob, I'll say this too. There are a lot of people, I was hearing, you know, they talked about this obviously on radio stations throughout the country. I'm in New
right.
York. And a lot of support for Kyrie out there. You know, there are a lot, at least that's what I heard on the radio. And
I saw it on the internet.
I talked about it. I put up one of my posts from First Things First, and there's a lot of support people have for Kyrie. They just don't trust the government, and they're just iffy on whether or not this vaccination is safe, and they question the government. That's really what it boils down to.
Okay,
from
but
what
that's fine. But I do believe that people who run companies and businesses have a right to set the ground rules. So nobody's forcing him to do it, Chris. That's what I don't understand. Okay, right? They're not forcing him to do it.
No, they're not. And it's intertwined. I mean, you know, if every business forces you to get it, then you got to get it.
Can't go to school. You can't go to Chris. You can't go to school in certain states. Not all of them, but
most, right?
But most states
you
can't
get vaccinated.
Ask those same people. You can't even get on a plane, Chris, without a. If you don't wear your mask on a plane, not only do you get kicked off, okay? They put you on a do not fly list. You can't fly.
That's where I think there's some misguidance on the part of those like that think like Kyrie. Is that because, again, I don't trust the government in a lot of things, but they're not thinking of these other restrictions we already have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like that
point.
You're just going along with and you're just looking at this one. Even, you know, so. All right. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Pro or con regarding Kyrie. Give us a call and let us know your thoughts. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex.
twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. All right, it is the Odd Couple. And you know, when you hear that, it's a Worship Wednesday. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. It's your home for live sports, and that means all sports. Every game, every match, race, competition, it is always on. Now go on and plan your trip at Visit Vegas, Visit Las Vegas, visitlasvegas.com to see the best and brightest in Vegas, the greatest arena on earth.
Can't wait. I'm going this weekend.
877-99 on Fox, you're turned away. And are you? You going this weekend, huh?
Yeah, going this weekend to Vegas. Can't wait.
All right, well, have a good time, man. Be careful. You've been losing a lot of money lately.
Nah, I need help. Chris, I might have to call you for a loan now. Yeah, we'll talk.
Well, no, say that. Say that, Don. Right. Not until you get rid of those Louis Vuitton seats.
Yeah, all right.
Then I'll
be
like, oh, he really needs it.
All right, whatever. All right, Darrell in Texas. You're in the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good,
you?
Man. How are you?
Hey, guys have a great show.
Thank you.
I'm a retired military vet, and I'm looking at the human aspect of Kyrie Irving. This is a young man that lost his mom at a young age. I've been listening to people on radio and TV, and they be talking about, well, he might have some mental health issues, or he take mental health breaks. You never know how that death of losing a mom at a young age affects him. I lost my mom 3 months ago, and I really didn't know the lady, and it affects me, and I'm 47 years old. So I just say the NBA is not going to stop or go with or without Kyrie Irving. Just like when Barry Sanders retired early, everybody was shocked. I'm sure, Rob, I think you may have been covering it in New Jersey.
I was in Detroit. Absolutely, right.
When Barry Sanders walked away in his prime, the NFL kept going. The NFL and the NBA are machines. I said, look at the young man as a human being, not as an asset to the NBA. He's a great player. He got his one championship. He may just be happy with that and maybe going through something and going about a different way of expressing that. That's how
I hear you. Here's what I would say, and I'm sensitive to mental health, as most people are nowadays. My daughter was a psychology major at Penn, and now she works at Yale in the psychology department. So I'm sensitive to all that. I've talked to her about it and stuff. But I also think there's levels. I think there is mental health to the extreme where that's level. And then there's the mental challenges of life that we all face, the disappointments, the sadnesses and things
like
that.
Things don't always work out
right.
for you.
And I, obviously you hate to see, like, Kyrie lost his mom, I believe, when he was 9, but don't quote me on that. But, yeah, so no doubt that was tough. But, again, not belittling that, because it's not to be belittled, but everybody's got challenges, and a lot of people have some traumatic challenges, and there is a certain, like, you got to go on, you know, and if you get to an extreme level, yes, we'll deal with you. But I also think, you know, you can't just say, well, somebody had challenges, because, man, everybody, and some people, a lot of people to really extreme levels, have had incredible setbacks, incredible disappointments, incredible trauma, and you move through it and live your life and do the best you can. But you can't make an excuse for somebody because they went through something when they're younger, because that what they did may hurt other people. Now, Kyrie, not in this situation,
right?
But other people.
All right, Joel in Florida. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What up, Joel?
What's popping, fellas? How's it going?
Doing
good,
great.
Man. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Just driving home from work. See, I want to just say something about Kyrie. I'm a Celtics fan, so I feel like I've had plenty of Kyrie in the media locally. But, you know, when it comes down to Kyrie, I think he's just the most complicated player to deal with. And, you know, if it's not an identity crisis playing behind LeBron's shadow, it's his team chemistry in Boston, or it's the fans in Boston. And when you move a team and you want to have a fresh start and a new start, I think you need to prove yourself a little bit. And I don't think he's done that in Brooklyn. I think he's starting more problems. He's playing with his best friend. He is where he wants to be. And there's still little things that he wants to everybody to change for him as a player. But at the end of the day, I can't take a couple weeks off for mental health not to, like you said, belittle his situation there.
Right.
But, you know, you got to come up and step up to the plate and play for a team because he's making $17.5 million a year. If this isn't something that you're, you know, suited up for, then I think you should just change careers or, you know, take that money and put it into – you know, an IRA or whatever you want to do with it. And, you know, I've never had that kind of money, so I don't know what to do with it. But, you know, he's got to think of something if he's not going to be able to work consistently. And that's what basketball is all about, is consistency and being able to play.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate the call. And, Chris, you know, we talked about it before. We all make sacrifices every day.
Right.
We all make compromises every day. I hate to – I know there's a lot of young people who they just think, like, whatever they want to do, they want to do, and they don't want to compromise. They don't want to sacrifice, which is fine. That's that, when you're independently wealthy, Chris, and you don't have to rely on anybody else for anything, you can do that.
You're right. You and can. Like I feel for Kyrie in that he can't play the game he loves this year,
right.
But I don't feel sorry for Kyrie Irving. He's about to get paid $17, $18 million
to not play
to
any
not
games.
Do anything, to right. not work. I mean, and he, not to mention all the money he's made before, and he earned it. But come on.
Let's squeeze one more in here. Let's go to Jason in West Virginia. You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, or good evening, fellas.
How are you?
How are you?
Hey, I'm not too bad. You know, I'm kind of torn on the Kyrie thing. Although I'm kind of glad, you know, that they stuck to their guns and that they're not going to let him be a part-time player.
Right.
But, you know, I also have a little bit more respect for Kyrie. I think oftentimes people look at athletes as, you know, just entertainment. But from, you know, what I've kind of seen and studied from Kyrie and things like that, he's a very intelligent young man.
I agree.
And I think the fact that, you know, something that he believes in passionately, and maybe he has done his research, because he does do a lot of research from, you know, things I've listened to, like your guys' shows and other shows, you know, that maybe he's done his research like a lot of people. And I think, you know, the fact that he made his choice and he's standing by his choice and he's letting – I mean, I think it's a good thing that he's showing people that, you know, when you make a choice, you got to be willing to sacrifice. And he is sacrificing for that choice.
Wait a minute. Here you go. Let me say this, Chris, real quick. He also made a choice and said that he didn't think that he needed to talk to the media either. Remember that? Like, I don't need to talk to the media. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I have to do it. And – to be a part of the NBA, Chris, what happened?
They made him talk to the media.
Because it's a part of his job, right? They fined him and whatever. So when you sign on, and I get it, he has the right to, but when you sign on to play or be a part of an organization or a situation, there's certain things that you just have to do that come with the job.
None of us live in a vacuum.
Nobody.
Do you think Donald Trump wanted to talk to the media every day or any president?
No.
Obama,
not at all.
Bush, whoever it was. Yeah, every single day you got to do it, right?
They had to do it if you want that job, right?
Their press secretaries wanted to go out there and get destroyed the way they
every
were?
Day. Every
yes.
day.
All right, 877-99 on Fox. As always, you'll have a chance to weigh in next hour. We got Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider coming up next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We got our man Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider coming up. Adam, welcome to The Odd Couple.
What's happening?
Guys, good to be back with you.
No
good
doubt.
Good to have you. And now, yeah, go ahead, Rob.
You know, Chris, I want to jump in here real quick. And Adam, I mean, you're an NFL insider. You do journalism. You break stories. And we're going to get into this in the next hour. But the Adam Schefter, I'm not asking you to rip on him. But is that a practice of you to turn over your stories to the person you're writing about for their approval?
Well, here's what I, Rob, just to understand, I have definitely done this at least a dozen times in my career where, let's say it's a complicated story. I remember one of my first stories I ever broke, gosh, 2002, 2003. I never heard of the drug Adderall, and I wasn't really familiar with it. And one of the sources I got the information from, I needed to get greater detail on what it does, you know, why do players take it, it's a stimulant. Why they would take it, and how do they get it approved to be able to take so they don't get suspended. So I actually said, hey, to the source, could I send you this? Could you look this over and see if this is correct? That's something I've done before with agents. Hey, is this true? Is this what we were discussing? Is this correct? I would look it over. Now, as a reporter, I have, if I don't feel, let's say, Rob, you're my source, and you know, I send you, hey, could you look this over? You look it over, and you change a couple things. And I go, you know what? I'm not comfortable with what you changed here. I don't think that's correct. That's something you should be able to do. I mean, that's just something that, you know, we all have as a reporter. You know, you have your sixth sense. If you don't believe what the person's giving you, you don't put it in the story. You don't agree on that. But
that's interesting. You know, I've been doing it for 35 years. I've never turned over my copy to anybody.
But again, I'm not saying that this person is my editor or
right.
Change
well,
it.
But it depends. I got what you said, but yeah. but the story, the email said, Mr. Editor, as if.
Yeah, I understand that, and I get that. But what I'm saying is, if I've done 5,000 stories, I may have done it 10 to 12 times. Over 18 years.
Not a common practice.
Is it uncommon? Yes, I'll say that.
Okay.
But if it's very complicated, it depends. It just depends on what it is. But again, you're not going to let them. I just want to make sure I have this correct because you and I were talking.
Yep.
And I'm taking this down as do I have this correct? Now again, if I don't agree with it, I say no.
Yeah. Fact-checking is, of course.
But not
exactly.
Editing.
Yeah, yeah,
not
exactly,
editing.
Chris,
you don't get
you.
To edit my story.
Exactly. No, fact-checking is super important because you can't, in this world that we live in, particularly with Twitter and everything being instant, you get shredded if you get it wrong. And that's just, you know, nobody's perfect. We've all been through this. You know, Chris and I work for ESPN. We know what it's, you know, yep. We know what it's like to do, break news. And you got to, it's being right first, breaking it second.
Adam, I'm sure you've talked to executives and other people around the league about just the John Gruden stuff. Not just Gruden. Well, let's start at Gruden because obviously there's more fallout. But with Gruden, what's kind of been the reaction, the honest reaction as you're talking to guys off the record about his situation?
I would say surprised, not shocked. I would say they
wow. –
Now, what I mean is – John Gruden is a different guy. If you know anything about him, you know, I don't know the guy personally, but I've talked to several people worked with him anywhere from Philly in the 90s when he was in his late 20s to, you know, the Raiders. A fiery guy, sometimes could be outspoken, sometimes reacts without thinking. This is just, could be capricious at times. It's just the way he is. Now, the racist stuff, the shots at people, the commissioner, all that surprised people. That was not something. In fact, one person in particular who knows John very well does not know that side of him. And I asked that. It's funny you bring this up. I actually asked that point blank. I'm like, do you know him like this? And the guy said, no, I've not heard him ever talk like that. So now that's in an email that's off the cuff, and several, obviously, a bunch of emails over time.
Right.
We'll see what else comes out here.
Right.
That's the thing about it that you shake your head. You're like, really, John Gruden? This is you, and this is a side that, look, we've learned about athletes and entertainers. There's a lot we don't know about them, and when we find out about it, we may be shocked initially, but the more people you talk to, so over the next, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, I'll be talking to more people, and who knows? Listen, stuff generally will come out about people that, like, yeah, okay, you have those emails. Okay, that's one instance over a series of emails. Let's see if people talk off the record. Let's see if people... doing with anonymous sources, that stuff's going to come out, man. What if John Gruden's truly like this?
Right.
If it's not an isolated incident, you know that stuff's going to come out. That's just the way it is.
Do you expect more fallout from the 650,000 emails and this pressure mounting to release more of this? And we already saw the Adam Schefter, which we briefly talked about. But there could be other stuff, and I'm just a little surprised at how flip people are on a business email. I just am. Are
well,
you?
It's funny. All right, I'll give you a little bit of. I like to go inside stuff. I've talked to ad nauseum NFL personnel people for decades through their work email. I stopped doing that 4 or 5 years ago. I use their Yahoo or Gmail. God forbid somebody reads it.
Right.
It's just funny you bring this up. I'm the one, by the way, who said, listen, let's do you have a, oh, I always ask, do you have a Gmail? Do you have a Yahoo? Do you have a private email? Because I don't know who could be reading this stuff based on leakage of emails and all the hacking that goes on. That's something that's got, privacy's got me really concerned with discussions of information. You got to be careful with that stuff. People nefariously do stuff. So, yeah, obviously you got to be careful.
Adam, quickly, in maybe 30 seconds to an hour or a minute, a football question. OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., there's talk now that the Browns should trade him. What do you think the likelihood of that is? Is there much of a, you know, a market for him out there? What's going on there?
No, Chris, injury history, age, lack of productivity, coming off torn ACL. I mean, look, I always say this because I've learned my lesson, never say never. He's had a situation, he's on the downside of his career. He's 29 years old. Doesn't mean he can't still play.
Right.
And the thing is, the Browns need him. They know that. I remember talking to one of their coaches right when the season started. We were just talking about OBJ returning. He said, listen, we need him. They don't have a very developed receiver core. Now, you could also look at and say last week they had over 500 yards of total offense against
Without
a pretty good Charger defense.
Right.
But, again, you're trying to get the Super Bowl. The Browns know they're a really good football team, and this is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Okay, the two losses they had were at the Chargers and at the Chiefs where they blew a lead. They should have beaten the Chiefs. Okay, this is a real legitimate team. They're a better team with OBJ. But they have a decision to make on his contract after the season. They know this. I mean, let's be realistic. This has got to be his last year with them, barring some kind of run. He just is not the same player. And again, his injury history is pretty significant.
Right. All right. Great stuff.
Thanks,
Adam.
Appreciate you. Really. Thank you.
Guys, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, man. See you.
Thank you.
All right. More Odd Couple coming your way. Keep it locked. Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we were talking a little bit with Adam Kaplan about journalism. And interesting story coming out of the University of Oklahoma or Oklahoma University. What is it? University of Oklahoma? Is it? But I thought it's OU, but nobody knows. Oklahoma University, right. But Rob G, explain kind of the situation there with the football team and the journalists from the school newspaper.
Sure. Well, Spencer Rattler was the starting quarterback in Oklahoma coming to the season. He was hyped by many as the number one quarterback draft prospect. Pro Football Focus had the number one highest grade on him, so everyone's expecting
big
things.
He ain't that no more.
From Spencer Rattler. Well, he got off to a rough start to the season, so much so that he was actually benched on Saturday in their game against Texas for freshman Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams obviously sparked the team. They came back for the big victory. So it set up a little bit of a quarterback controversy. Head coach Lincoln Riley said, I'm going to close the practice, you know, at least the first day, and we'll figure out what we're going to do from there. Well, journalism students from Oklahoma, got access to a public building across the way, used some binoculars, and number one, they found out that Williams was getting most of the first team snaps, not Rattler, and number two, they actually spoke to Spencer Rattler's father about his situation with the team and, you know, what his outlook is moving forward. Once that became public and was published in the school newspaper, or it might have been online, actually, Lincoln Riley decided to close practice indefinitely for the rest of the week. From the rest of the media.
Bravo to the journalism students. Bravo. That's what you do, Chris. They were ingenious. They didn't do. Did they break any laws? They got binoculars. They looked and they saw who was getting the snaps. They made a phone call. His father could have said, no comment. I don't have anything to say. Father could have said that. They called up. They asked a question. Hey, your son's going to be the starter. What's going on? And he answered the questions. It's called journalism.
Great job. Absolutely great job. I remember, Rob, covering the Knicks, and they used to close their practices. And I never did it, and I never was there when anybody did it. But I heard stories about guys sneaking in, somehow, because you know it was up at Purchase.
I went to Purchase a million times for practice,
Behind the bleachers or whatever, and got to see some stuff, you know. So, I'm totally on board with what these students did. If you practice outside, then if they can get somewhere and see your practice and see what's going on, that's great work by them. They did nothing wrong. And I think, Rob, the school should talk to – they are an institution of higher learning. And they should talk to the football coach and be like, look, we're here to train students to prepare them to succeed in life. And the journalism students did nothing wrong.
Right, they did their jobs.
You can't punish them. I don't know what their situation can be with, you know, closing off practice, Rob, because, you know, in the NBA, you only get in for like the last 15 minutes. So teams, I don't know what it's like at college level, but, you know, in the pros, they close off practice. So he may be justified in doing that, but as far as access to the media and, you know, the school should let them know, look, you can't cut off these young journalists. These are students at the school you're representing.
Exactly. Who are you punishing? You're punishing the students.
Right.
The students? Because was the story wrong? Chris, was the story wrong? Okay, the story wasn't wrong. If you're telling me that they printed or put on their website inaccurate information, then you have a right to be mad and say, hey, this is not right. And you guys got to get your stories right, okay? This is not right. That's not what happened. They were right. And you can't punish them. I remember when I was in Detroit, and I didn't go to the press conference, Chris. I listened to it on the radio. And it was Lloyd Carr after a Michigan loss, right? Football.
Right.
And he was the coach. And he walks in. He's mad at two of the students who wrote for the Michigan Daily and Drew Sharp, the late columnist for the Detroit Free Press, Drew Sharp. He walks in. I'm listening on the radio, and Chris, this is what he says. He walks in, and he points to them. Obviously, it's the radio, but he goes, all right, let's get started, but I'm not taking questions from you. And it was two students and Drew. And do you know the rest of those numb skulls let Lloyd Carr have a press conference despite him refusing to allow people from doing their jobs? And my point is, you could have an issue with something somebody wrote, but you can't handpick who gets to ask questions when you open up a press conference. I'm an accredited member of the media. I should have the right. You could say no comment or whatever you want, but you can't tell me I can't ask a question.
And they could have asked him.
Right.
They could have asked him a question, and if he says no comment, fine. But that's happened. I mean, I remember I had an issue once with Stephon Marbury when I was covering the Nets, and he played for them.
Right.
And he didn't talk to me for about two-thirds of the season. He wouldn't answer my questions.
So you would be there in front of his locker, you'd ask him something, and he would ignore you.
Yeah, it would be – well, after a while, I just stopped going to him individually. Right. But because I wanted to talk to him, I was like, yo, come out, let's talk. Let's talk it out, get it out like men, whatever. He wouldn't talk to me. And then – but in the scrum, you know, like after a game, it's 10 of us there getting questions. And I got all the quotes I needed because, you know, I was in the scrum.
Other people were asking questions.
Right, everybody asked questions. Right. And if I asked one, he might say no comment. We made up eventually and everything became cool. But, I mean, that happens. But it really, like I said, it didn't hurt me because I got every quote I needed from him. But he just wouldn't answer my questions directly. But in this situation, Rob, with a college coach and students from the school paper, I think the school should tell the coach, look, you can't do that to our students.
Period.
Because they're students of this university. Their parents are paying money for them to come here and learn this skill. And you're not going to stand in the way of that. All right. We got 2 hours left. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. You know what to do. Keep it locked.